I'm Dimay Roberts, stage and studio. With me in my office studio are the co-producer of Mala, Anna Nicholas.
Hi, thank you for having us.
And also the fabulous Portland actress, Hulana Torres, in the title role of Mala. And welcome back to Stage and Studio, Hulana.
Hi, thank you for having me back.
Melinda Lopez is a respected actress and a playwright in Boston, and she originally created this play when she was taking care of her aging parents, and I was reading about that. Anna, do you want to tell me more about what drew you to the play, and what's more about the play itself?
The director and Hulana actually probably can speak more to the specifics of why the play was chosen. I love the content of the play, but Brian chose the play, and we kind of partnered on this, and we have partnered on other theater things. We know each other from Los Angeles, and he asked me to come aboard on this project, and I read it and thought I really wanted to be part of it because I have been in Mala's situation myself, taking care of my aging parents who died within 9 months of each other while my son was on the tennis circuit as a junior tennis player, and it was exhausting.
Well, I'm sorry about that. We're going to talk more about that because that's the theme that touches the themes of the play, Mala. But Hulana, you were referring to Brian Schnipper, who is the director and co-producer. Hulana, what was it about Mala that drew you to this production?
Well, first of all, when Brian contacted me, Brian had also been coming off of dealing with his father's death. And so that's why this really spoke to him and why he wanted to do this show, because there's such an array of feelings that you go through when you're caring with someone you love who's on their last days. And what appealed to me is that at the time when he met with me and asked me about my interest in doing it, I was taking care of my grandmother who had just gone into hospice care. And I was there every morning helping her and going through the ups and downs of her dementia. And it was taxing, and it was beautiful. There was a lot of beautiful moments, and there was a lot of really hard moments. And so when I read it, it hit home.
And what is the play? Just describe what Mala deals with.
She deals with caring for herself, dealing with her everyday life and all of her responsibilities, but on top of that is it's a burden, but it's also a responsibility of caring for her mother, taking care of her mother, who took care of her, who gave her, life to give her what she needed. And, she's dealing with the guilt and the exhaustion and, the feelings of not wanting to do it, but also, loving her so very much.
Yeah, and I was going to add to that, there's a certain helplessness, I think, that character of Mala feels, and that we all feel when we're watching somebody we love go through this. Yeah. You can't fix it. It's part of life. And Mala is both embracing it and kind of pushing it away, going towards it, and just trying to figure out how she is going to negotiate this road.
I'm Dimay Roberts, stage and studio. With me in my office studio are co-producer Anna Nicholas and actress Hulana Torres, who performs the title role of Mala by Melinda Lopez. If you missed any of the show, you can hear it at stageandstudio.org or kbu.fm/stageandstudio. Mala opens September 6th and runs through the 28th at Coho Productions in Northwest Portland, and you can find out more about that at cohoproductions.org. And we are now being joined by the director and co-producer, Brian Schnipper. Welcome to Stage and Studio.
Hi, thank you for having us.
Well, thanks for coming to my office studio. I know you had a little bit of car trouble coming in, with a lot of traffic, which Portland has a lot of here. But we were talking about caregiving and what Mala says about caregiving. What drew you to the project and on a personal level to Mala?
I first started reading it. I had flown home to New Jersey because I got a call from my mother saying, I think it's time for you to come home. My father was not well. And so I got on a plane. Within 24 hours, I was back in New Jersey. And knowing I was going to be there for at least a few weeks, I think I booked the trip for a month exactly, I brought some reading material with me. And after a little while, I had come upon this play that I put in my bag, and I started reading it, And of course, at the time, I thought this is really not the material I should be reading. After about 10 pages, I put it down because it was just too much. I just, you know, I was actually sitting next to my father, who only lasted another 3 weeks. And so it was, life was paralleling art, and I just needed to put it down. So I picked it up about 3 months after he passed away, and I was able to finish it, and it just was so stunningly honest and beautifully written, and it was so specific and universal all at the same time that I just felt I needed to work on it.
It obviously had a momentous impact on you, and you remembered this play when you were thinking about producing here in Portland. And I'm wondering what it is about the play itself, the writing. Can you speak to Melinda Lopez's writing?
It's a combination of great real dialogue and lyricism. She combines the two really well. And of course, she wrote this originally. She was going to write it as a two-person or three-person play. And then she decided it needed to be a one-person play that she would perform in. And she initially had said she would never perform in any of her own plays, but felt that this was the piece that she would actually step in and act in.
When you're dealing with a subject that has so much depth to it, that is an experience that is a passage experience for so many of us, you often have to look at different ways of dealing with that. And humor can be a way of doing that. Can you speak to that in Mala?
She does that really well. And none of the jokes, or I don't say jokes, or humor comes from truth, which of course is the best comedy. It comes from pain, and it comes from understanding the situation, and she knows how to bring humor to a darker situation.
Alana, do you have a specific example of that you can kind of give us a flavor of from the script, a moment from the show?
I think that... Well, I guess it's just popping out in my head because we were working on it today, but there's a moment when she says, you know, well, she's mostly dying, but aren't all we? She started dying, but haven't we all? Because it's true. I mean, the second you're born, you're starting to die. So, I mean, she just really makes these logical references throughout the whole time that are really kind of funny. It lightens it up. It makes you laugh and go like, oh, yeah, well, what are you going to do? I mean, that's what it is. It's part of life.
I think about that all the time as we age. It's like, well, you know, that's kind of like, you know, what's going to happen,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it's inevitable, right?
So it's like, you know, it's part of life and it's part of, you know, giving us purpose too, because we know there's a time limit.
Exactly.
So what is it like? Tell us about Mala herself. What do you like about this character?
I like that she's really dry. You know, she's just kind of very blunt. There's no BS about her, and which is really similar to the type of person that I am, too. So I really have attached to it in that sense. I like that it's just, you know, this is what it is. And you know, we're doing the best of what we can. And that's what I really like about it. You know, it's just very straightforward.
And have you, you play other characters, though, too? Or is it, you must reference the person that you're taking care of.
Yeah, and that's what's great about it, too. She's a storyteller. So she's bringing in other people in her life who have given her their stories about their parents and their time when it came. And embracing those characters, she's also being humorous. You know, there's some comical places in that also. She's a storyteller.
And so what has it been like for you two in the director-solo-actor relationship here in rehearsals and working on this, I mean, very, very heavy but very full of life play?
Well, it's a very different process. When there is two, three, four, no matter how many characters there are, a lot of it deals with blocking and this becomes very much a very personal journey for both the actor and the director together, because you are you're sifting through it and you're not necessarily telling them move here, move to this part of the stage. It's more about feeling, understanding what the character is going through and finding how that actor wants to move in that space in that particular moment. It's much more of a give and take process with a one person show, especially a piece like this. I mean, there are pieces like I Am My Own Wife, where there are very distinct lines between all the different characters they're playing. This is a much more natural, that's the right word, but there's much more of a give and take between the audience. She begins the play by talking about how we are in this together and how we're not going to turn off our cell phones. And if something happens, if there's an emergency, we'll deal with it. So from the outset, you know that she's saying that we're in this together, that you and I are going to go through this journey and we're going to go through it as you and I, people, human beings. And it sets the tone for the entire evening.
I was just wondering, is it set in contemporary times? I mean, what's sort of the setting? Where is it located? And, you know, can you talk about that?
It's here and now. The play is very much, you know, it's about, and there are a lot of things she talks about that are here and now.
She did an interview prior to the play being done at the Huntington, where she's still, I think, playwright in residence.
Yes.
And she talks about it very much being important to her that it was set in the snow. Boston, in the snow, particularly, I think it was 2005 or 2015, and that everybody in Boston knew the snow was horrible that year. So she's saying, don't let the snow bother you. Come out to the theater. The snow's been plowed. Please come to the theater, and I will tell you the story that it's all of our stories. And she says this in this interview, and I thought that was really great because she believes that theater is local. That doesn't mean you have to wait till the snow comes in Portland to go to the play, because we're not going to get any snow in September.
Hopefully not. I hope.
Lately, you never know, do you? Well, Fulana, from your point of view, from the actor's point of view, what's the challenging, you know, aspects of this? Yes, it's a solo show, so of course lines, right? And that you're on the stage all the time. But beyond that, you know, what's the challenge for you in performing this role?
I think to this point, the most challenging piece has been not to take it home, you know, honestly, because it does touch so close to home, and it can be very emotional at times. And I'm thinking of it and I'm feeling it in my bones and my body every day. I'm going to sleep, I'm waking up with it. And being that it is an everyday thing, to live in that place every day can affect your regular life. So I think for me, the biggest challenge at this point has been separating the show from my life, you know, and being able to tap into one to influence the other, but being able to walk away and take what I need from it, but not have it, you know, affect me throughout the entire day, which is also going to be a journey doing it four nights a week and being able to access those emotions and the feelings to make it true and to bring everybody into it and have them share in that experience with me. But also to be able to preserve a piece of myself that I'm not walking away, you know, exhausted, finding that balance of using it, but still feeling the healing piece of it, because it is actually a very healing show at the same time.
And how is it healing?
Because it allows you to know that you're not alone, number one, that there's guilt in it. And there's always guilt when we're dealing with loved ones, when we're dealing with taking care of people and you're wondering what you could do better, what is my role in this? And so I think you go through a journey of emotions, and it's healing in a sense to hear other people say the same things that you're feeling. And when you feel like you have that validation that, you know, oh, I'm not alone in this, that it's okay to feel this way, that, you know, it's okay to laugh at this sometimes. It's okay to be upset. It's okay to be frustrated. You know, when you feel that validation, that's healing. That's helpful to you in your own life to know that, all right,
I'm not a bad person. I'm not mala. You know, and this is okay.
I was maybe on the younger side of caregiving when my mom had terminal breast cancer. And it took, you know, it was a three-year journey. It was a three-year journey. And I was taken by what Melinda Lopez, the playwright, said. She received a lot of critical acclaim for this, but she said in a piece at, for Huffington Post that she ultimately saw this play as a record of her failures as a caregiver. And I can really relate to that because it seemed like no matter what you did, you always kind of felt guilty about it and that you weren't doing enough. Mm-hmm. And so I think it would be a relief to a lot of people who have been through the caregiving experience to be able to see something where this character is, you know, dealing with the same kind of things and kind of dealing with it and perhaps forgiving herself for it. I don't know. I haven't read this play yet, but or haven't seen it. But it just seems like that's a really crucial point to make and a crucial part of caregiving is that sense of we need to forgive ourselves because we do the best that we can.
Absolutely. And that's exactly what it is. I mean, we are constantly going to beat ourselves up over it. That's the first place we go to as humans, of, you know, feeling like I failed. I'm bad. You know, it's easy to go to that place. But when you have, when you're able to listen to somebody else's story and realize that, you know, we're all in that same place or that they're feeling the same feelings that you have thought, then it allows you to be able to forgive yourself and say, you know, I'm not wrong for this. I'm human.
And we tried. We really tried. And I see that you're going to have some talkbacks for this show, September 15th, about growing old with grace and dignity. And after the September 19th show, there will be a talk about caregiving. Can you talk about, are there panels or talk about these? Anna, do you want to talk about that?
We're putting together the panels now. Our first confirmed guest is a teacher of gerontology, a former hospice nurse, and also works with AARP, who will speak to your own control over your own destiny as you age. What do you want? And the second panel is more geared towards people who are caregiving, taking care of themselves as caregivers as they care for others in Mala's situation, you know. And so we hope that we can provide to the community some really valuable tools, information, and some guidance as we all negotiate this path. I don't see how we cannot negotiate this path. It's a path we're all going down. But we can do it with humor and grace.
And it's just such a natural passage and part of life. I mean, if we've all have parents, then we all, you know, go through this, right? I'm Dee Mae Roberts, stage and studio, here with my guests, Anna Nicholas, co-producer and co-producer-director Brian Schnipper, and actress Hulana Torres, who performs the title role of Mala in a play by Melinda Lopez. Mala opens September 6th and runs through the 28th, Thursday through Saturdays at 7:30 p.m. and Sunday, matinees at 2 p.m. All shows are at Coho Productions in Northwest Portland. That's located at 2257 Northwest Broadway Street in Portland. More info at cohoproductions.org, and I have all that info at stageandstudio.org and kboo.fm/stageandstudio. Do you want to give a shout out for the creative team? Anything you want to mention regarding the production folks?
Oh, I'm delighted with the team we have. Megan Wilkerson, Laura Savage, Carl Faber, and Matt Weens, they're all really terrific designers, and I'm lucky to have them. And it's the set and the world we're creating is simple, but really theatrically beautiful. And where I'm looking forward to, we go into tech in about a week, so that will all start coming together really soon.
Brian's done a great job of the advance work with the team, getting exactly what he wants to happen on stage. I just wanted to also thank Coho Productions for choosing us as one of the four productions this year. It's the only theater in Portland that really does that, that offers local artists the opportunity to co-produce and put their work out there. I'm very happy to say that this is my first production, co-production back in Portland after 25 years away.
I was going to ask you about that. What's it like? I mean, you know, talk about big changes, 25 years.
It's huge changes. I mean, theaters have come and gone. The mainstays are still here, even though they may have changed location. But lots of little small theaters, the Portland Women's Theater, where I did my one-woman show, years and years ago called I Love Paris about the parasite growing inside of me, and I didn't know how I was going to cope. No, it was, again, funny, tragic, you know, life.
I didn't know that's what it was about. But so, Brian, what's your perspective of Portland?
Well, in some ways, it still feels like I got here yesterday. I've been here for 4 years. And even getting here today was a challenge because, I as we were saying before I got on the air, that I lost my phone. So not being able to get here through GPS was a challenge. So I'm still finding out about this city, which is wonderful. And it's a beautiful part of the country. The people are lovely. And it's a really, it's just a more relaxing place to be.
Isn't that weird how we're so used to all this technology now, but back in the old days we had maps, right?
Yes. Or you wrote down directions and you followed them. You wrote them down on a piece of paper, yeah, which I actually thought I would have to do because I was going to be late for this appointment. So yes, I had a panic moment when I realized I did not have my phone and could not get here through GPS.
But it's true. I mean, Portland has changed so much and it's grown so much. It's so much bigger and so much traffic. And, you know, and the fact that it is such, I think, one of the biggest changes is that it's even more of an arts community now, you know, than it's ever been. So that those are good things. Do you have any shout outs that you want to give Hulana for anything else that's upcoming for you after Mala?
Well, I don't know if I can say some of the upcoming stuff yet. I don't know if it's, you know, if we've been given that permission yet, but I'm excited to work with a theater I haven't worked with before in Portland. That's going to be fun.
That's okay.
Yeah.
You know, we know that there is something coming up for Hulana. Anything for you, Brian?
Just, I'm working on a few things. They're not in Portland, so they're other places in the country. So that's where I'm working on that right now.
And we're hoping to take Mala outside of here after this, too.
So tour it?
Yes, that's okay. That's hopefully going to happen. That's what we're looking forward to.
That's exciting. And how about you, Anne?
An original film that my son and I are going to co-direct on the coast. We hope March 2020. We hope.
That's going to be fun working with your son, huh?
Absolutely.
Is he a filmmaker?
He's a filmmaker, 23 years old, just kind of going out on his own, currently working in Los Angeles as an editor.
I think that's great. A mother-son team, you know, that's certainly, I don't think, done very often. So congrats on that. So any final thoughts or shout-outs about Mala that we haven't talked about? Anything that you're looking forward to or on opening night?
I'm really excited. We started talking about today how it's really coming together, and I'm just excited to work with Hulana, and she's just perfect for it. And I can't wait for us to get in front of an audience. I really can't.
Yeah, that's really going to be the great piece of it, because it's such an interactive piece where you're kind of on the fly sometimes with some of the things that happen. Like, we tell them not to turn the cell phones off. So if your cell phone goes off, I have to be prepared to, you know, kind of be on the fly with that and remember where I'm supposed to be in the show at the same time. Because we did that yesterday. Brian's cell phone went off and I was like, oh, you good? You know, we're checking in. And then I was like, oh, crap, where am I at? What's happening? So, yeah, so, you know, there's going to be that live piece to it that I love, that element of surprise. That's what I'm looking forward to.
I'm sure Brian did that on purpose, so you can practice that, right?
Yeah, sure. We'll say that.
And Anna, any final thoughts?
I just want people to come with an open mind, a smile, and maybe right before they come, listen to Eric Idle's Look on the Bright Side of Life.
Da-da, 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 da-da.
Well, that was delightful. Anna Nicholas, Brian Schnipper, and actress Hulana Torres, thank you so much for coming to my office studio and having this conversation today and Break Legs on Opening. That's it for Stage and Studio. I'll have the show on podcast online at stageandstudio.org or kboo.fm/stageandstudio. And you can like us at facebook.com/stage_n_studio. Till next time, I'm Dee Mae Roberts. We're going out with music by David Arnett Cherry at davidarnettcherry.com.